Today on Real Life Radio.
You're blaming God for something wrong on your horizontal life, when in reality, this ought to wake you up to the fact that God loves you ultimately. It's Jesus Christ, my friend. Do you know him, or are you married to some pagan religion that goes through practices that you don't even know what you're doing them for?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 3, continues his series called The Book of Revelation. There are portions in the Bible where we're left wondering what it all means, but not here in Revelation chapter 17. Babylon is a topic that's often avoided because of its content, but it's important for what it reveals to us and to the world in which we now live. You see, during the time of the Apostle John, Babylon was a pagan worship system thousands of years old, but continued to be the religion of the Roman Empire. During the Great Tribulation, however, Babylon is a religious system that will reach across the world, a worship system of pagan idolatry, promising unlimited wealth and prosperity. It will dominate the world's religions and continue, as it does today, to martyr Christians for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it's important to note that this sermon was recorded some time ago, and you might hear some references that are kind of out of date, but don't worry. The main content of this message is more relevant today than it has ever been. Now, in his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Do you remember? Raise your hand if you remember. It started, I think, with George Bush Sr. It really escalated under the presidency of Bill Clinton, and now it continues on. It's not going to stop. Do you remember seeing our presidents standing on the White House lawn shaking hands with people like Yasser Arafat, representing Israel's enemies that surround it, the Arab world he represented, and the Prime Minister of Israel? Do you remember that? Where did it happen? Washington. What other agreements? Oslo, Camp David. All kinds of places, Madrid, all over the world. National leaders get together to try to get an agreement between Israel and its neighbors. Do you understand that? If you don't know that, you're asleep, man. Look at this week's news. Put the slide up, if you would. Look at this week's news. Now, am I saying that the tribulation's here? No, I'm saying we got to be getting close to going to see Jesus, don't you think? Amen. Look at this. Front page, Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, February 8th. Condoleezza Rice is right there. I'm trying to think of his first name. I want to say Mohammed, but that's not his name. Mahad or whatever, Abbas. A-B-B-A-S. I'm going to mention him in a moment, and you better get your pen ready. Here is the leader of our nation on diplomatic issues in the Middle East. They're talking about what each side to call truce in Middle East. She's talking with and for representing the United States on behalf of Israel, and for that matter, the rest of the world. They're talking about peace. Peace. Israel, the Bible says, in the last days will be consumed with peace. Wouldn't you be? If your kids were threatened about being blown up every other day, wouldn't you be? You want peace at any cost. The Bible says when they begin to say peace, peace, tragically sudden destruction will come upon them. Look at this. LA Times. Next slide. LA Times, Wednesday. The next day, February 9th. Sharon and Abbas pledge end to conflict as hopes soar. They're shaking hands. Front page of every major world newspaper this week. You say, well, so what? That's really good news. That's no news at all. Do you think this truce is going to last? It can't last, and it won't last based upon the Bible. None of them will work until the Antichrist comes. These are all primers, are you with me? To get your attention, God is saying, wake up. It's in the front page. This is not Canada and Peru shaking hands. We laugh because that's ridiculous. It is Israel. In your Bible, Israel, wake up, church. Wake up, non-Christian. What more evidence do you want? This is so important. And its enemies. Abbas represents the Palestinians, which is a modern-day vernacular term of the ancient Philistines. Nothing's changed. Next slide. Mr. Sharon also invited Mr. Abbas to his farm in Israel for a working visit. You know why I picked that photograph out of the International? That's the New York Times International. You know why I did that? I don't know. If you shake hands with somebody, shouldn't you look at them in the face? You say, well, that's a jab. You want a jab? Go home to your computer and look up this man, Abbas. You find out who he is. You will be dumbfounded and shocked. Why in the world is Sharon even shaking his hand? Makes no sense. You want to know why? This man used to be a major terrorist head, a terrorist leader. Go study. Next slide. I think I'm just going to keep saying next slide. There it is. Muhammad, M-A-H-M-U-D, Abbas. Look his name up. He has aliases, by the way. You can search his aliases. Israel, Palestinians announce ceasefire. Next slide. Oh, this is great. New York Times, President Hosni Mubarak, that's of Egypt, right, hosted the highest level meeting between Israelis and Palestinians in 4 years. This is absolutely fantastic. It's just not going to work. Next slide. Israel and Palestine. Anybody remember the name, one of the names of the hills in Rome? Palatine, remember that? Remember when Rome took over Israel? They renamed it Palestine in honor of the Philistines and changed Jerusalem, which is Hebrew, to a Babylonian, now Romanized word, Italian word, Capitoline. One of the names of the hills in Rome. The gestures on both sides reflect a dramatic brightening of prospects for Middle East peacemaking since the death of Yasser Arafat and the advent of Mohammed Abbas. Oh, the advent. Abbas has been on Arafat's payroll for over 30 years, ladies and gentlemen. This is a joke. Pastor, you're so mean to quench any signs of hope. Next slide. Is that it? Very quickly, because we're out of time. You guys, the book of Daniel tells us, Daniel 9:27, jot it down, please, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, tells us that in the last days, Israel will rebuild a temple. Is there a temple in Israel right now? No. Can you go online and make donations to the rebuilding of the temple? Yes. A friend of mine, you guys remember Don Stewart years ago? Don Stewart had a chance to see the blueprints of the new temple. Chuck Missler has had a chance to see the blueprints of the new temple. A man by the name of Gershon Solomon swears that he has the cornerstone of the new temple. They took us on a drive in Jerusalem and they showed us the cornerstone of the new temple. That was a pretty wild ride. We had security overhead. It was very weird. There's only about eight of us. It's kind of strange. There's talk about a temple, my friend, being built in Jerusalem. Say, well, what's so big about that? The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, yet future, this man, the Antichrist, will stand in the temple in Jerusalem declaring himself to be God. And he will demand worship above all that is called God. Well, the Bible, as I said, he will require people to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. Remember that from Revelation 13? Remember how big of an idiot I looked when I brought in all the chips and stuff on my head and I scanned my head with the microchip and all that stuff we had? Remember that? If you don't remember that, thank God you don't remember that. Why do I bring this up? We are truly almost done here. You're going to want to see this before we leave. Do you remember I told you that this woman will write upon the prosperity of this beast? The Revised Roman Empire. First slide, Wall Street Journal. This is what I do at airports when I have to wait. Wall Street Journal Europe, I got this in Frankfurt Airport on Monday, January 24th. Front page. Central banks boost holdings in euros. Ladies and gentlemen, there's 65 central banks. How many of you own a credit card? Raise your hand. You think you own that credit card. Those central banks own your credit card. And by doing so, they own you. 65 of the central banks, keep this slide up, please. 65 of the world central banks are 65 of the world central banks in greater number now than ever before. I forget the number. I'm guessing. I think it's 37 out of the 65. That could be a guess. I'd have to read it again. Have shifted from the dollar to the euro. Trend comes at expense of weak dollar. May have policy implications for U.S. You want to know why it says that? Because the United States, with its money, you know, the dollar used to be king. How many of you travel internationally, either because you get to or you have to? You take out the U.S. dollar now in Europe, and they will laugh in your face. Ask David Hawking. We were at a department store, and they laughed in his face when he accidentally pulled out a $20 bill. And the woman said, €99 And he said, in his meek and mild way, all right. She actually said, I'm quoting that wrong, she said, no good. I remember just within 5 years traveling throughout Europe and pulling out a $5 bill for U.S. dollar, and any country would take it, from Italy to Germany to the Czech Republic, you name it, they did it. You pull out a dollar now, and they say, nada, in Spain. No good here. Nope, uh-uh. Euros only. Dollars, nothing in Europe. Watch this. Central banks boost holdings in euros. Next slide. Euro, remember her? So, wow, that's current events. That last slide was current events. And then you go back to this old picture, this old thing about a woman riding the beast. My friend, can you look down at the bottom? That's a euro. Next slide. Financial Times, Europe in red. See that, Europe, Monday, January 24th. Central banks shun U.S. assets. Why? They're shifting to the euro. Keep going. Next one. Remember the Greek? This is the Greek euro of 2002. Next slide. Wall Street Journal, Europe. China's fast growth puts it on trajectory to be top economy. That's in the world, by the way. This is China. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. You were talking Europe and now you're China? I'm talking the dollar will go down. It's going down. I personally believe America has seen its most glorious days financially. I think we're living in the prophetic times whereby the euro and the currency of the East, the kings of the East, the increase in China, by the way, look at this, is the power play. I tell you right now, based upon the Bible, the euro is going to be extremely, extremely powerful. Right now, I checked, I believe it was on Friday, it would cost you $1.28 to buy 1 euro. Do you understand what that means? That means it cost you. That means you have. It cost you more to go to get 1 euro. Look down here in the second paragraph. The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, for one, is taking note. Why? Because it speaks about a radical policy shift based upon America's ability to influence the world and government affairs if the dollar goes too weak. In other words, we don't talk dollars here anymore. We talk euros. If anybody knows anything about the European Union and their religious persuasion, that will put chills up the middle of your back. America stands for Israel. There's a reason why God has that. The EU does not. Next slide, I think if we have one. China's march to economic primacy, Wall Street Journal, Europe. Long period of growth sets trajectory to overtake U.S., but timing is up for debate. Notice it doesn't say if. It says when. I think that's it, isn't it? Why do I bring that up? Because you guys, to tie this together, the European Union, the Bible says, will become the revised Roman Empire. There are 10 policymaker nations, 10 kings, that dictate what's going to go on in the other 25 nations. The woman who rides upon the beast will enjoy incredible wealth and prosperity. She's not going to be using U.S. dollars, my friend. Apparently, it looks like she's going to be using EU euros. And to top it off, to protect the euro, those 10 European nations are meeting and talking on getting away from currency that can be counterfeited to avoid what the United States has had to suffer by the illegal trafficking in terrorism and in drugs of dollars in illegal transactions. And it is the European Union that is talking about implementing a cashless society, numerical transactions that would put a stop to terrorist activity and the illegal trafficking of drugs and money. It's a brilliant plan. If you're not a Christian today, what in the world is wrong with you? What hang-up do you have? Is it? I guarantee if you have a hang-up, it's based upon some person you're upset with, or people, or denomination, or priest, or evangelist, or pastor, or mom, or dad, or daughter, or something's wrong. You're blaming God for something wrong on your horizontal life, when in reality, this ought to wake you up to the fact that God loves you ultimately. It's Jesus Christ, my friend. Do you know him, or are you married to some pagan religion that goes through practices that you don't even know what you're doing them for? Are you just reciting prayers when God says in the Bible, don't repeat the same prayers to me over and over again? Are you even connected to what Jeremiah 44 condemns as those who worship the Queen of Heaven? Are you married to a system? Or does your heart belong to Jesus Christ? I can't answer that for you. All I can tell you is Jesus said, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That means you come to Jesus and say, I trust you and you only. No church membership, no club, no baptism, no tithing record, no performance, no children's ministry detail, usher detail, parking lot detail. I trust you alone, like the thief on the cross. Jesus, I believe that you would look at me and say, today you'll be with me in paradise. That it's by faith in him alone that when he died on the cross, he meant exactly what he said exactly what he meant. It is finished. Tetelestai. Paid in full. And he died for your sins and mine. That the Bible says if you put your trust in Christ, your sins forgiven. The Bible says that if you confess Jesus Christ with your mouth as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead in your heart, you shall be saved. That, my friend, is a relationship with God. But if you're looking to any earthly system to intercede, to somehow grease the skids, as it were, to get you into heaven, you have missed the grace of God, and you are standing before God on your own merits, and it's no wonder why you feel so horrifically insecure right now, because you are. When so many in the sanctuary are absolutely certain that if they die today, they would be present with the Lord. Because Jesus Christ has moved inside of their lives by the person of the Holy Spirit, because we trust in him. And our worship is not of this world, but it's spirit and it's truth according to the Bible. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, that our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that you would move upon every heart. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you right now, if you would like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, before you respond at all, Christians, be praying. I'm going to ask everybody to sit still. This is a holy moment. If right now in your heart, your chest, kind of in your chest and above your tummy area, you feel anxious, you feel like you got to do something about this. You can't even identify this feeling. You just feel pressure and you don't like it. I want you to know that that's the Holy Spirit warning you now to set your life's destiny in order. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians interceding now in prayer. No distractions. Are you born again? Those who are born again know it. Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. Are you not sure? If you want to make sure today, will you put your hand up wherever you're at right now? All those who Jesus called, he called publicly. Don't be shy. No one's looking around. I'm looking around. Put your hand up. That's your public reception of Christ. I see it. God bless you, young lady. You, sir, both of you there. Hands up high. Back in the back, in the middle, and up front. Anyone else? Over here to my left. You say, Pastor, are you crazy? In the hallway. God bless you. Anyone else? Listen. God bless you, sir, in the back. Raising your hand doesn't save you. The hand went up because your mind's being changed. Your mind's being changed because God is using the Word of God to show you His truth. Anyone else in this last moment, you have not yet raised your hand, and you want to do that now? God bless you on the aisle. God bless you. Christians, pray this out loud with them, only to encourage them. Those of you who have raised your hands, pray this prayer. And don't look for a feeling. I mean, one might come, but that's not what we're looking for. You're putting faith in Christ right now. Are you ready? Dear Lord, thank you for saving me now. I give you my life. I vow this day to trust you. Wash away my sins. Write my name in your book of life. Make me a new creation. I receive you now. I believe you died and rose again. And you are my Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 3. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. If you've made a decision to follow Christ or you've got questions about what salvation means, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through his son Jesus Christ to get right with him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Hey, everybody. I'm in the studio with my friend, Pastor Jack. How you doing, Pastor Jack?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good, thanks. So that brings us to our book of the month.
Yes.
It's called 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert J. Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope for our real life audience to take away from this book that might not be so obvious? Some hidden thoughts, maybe some things you hope will be picked up.
Yeah, what's probably not so obvious. A lot of believers today do not realize that there is a very, very aggressive movement afoot right now to label any Christian that wears a red, white, and blue shirt or has a flag on their house or reads a book like this, 100 Bible Verses That Made America, to name them or label them as a Christian nationalist.
Interesting.
And I want you guys to all know something. This is a ploy by the haters of America.
Yeah.
This is a ploy by those who, and they're going to deny this, by the way. They're going to, we don't believe that. They hate America,
right,
and they hate God. And so for them to have an effect, they are labeling us as Christian nationalists, which we are not. I don't know about you, Davey, but when I hear the word nationalist, I think of Adolf Hitler,
yeah,
and those kind of goofballs, right?
Yeah.
That's not what we're about. My citizenship's in heaven. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I hope it's today. And this earth is not my home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
However, I'm supposed to be a good steward of the republic that God has given me.
Yeah.
And just because I love my country like I would think a Peruvian loves his country, or a Canadian ought to love his country, I believe that God has put that in the heart of each citizen of each country. And so we're living at a time where I believe there's a battle raging and the enemy is very much engaged. I have hope that the Christian community begins to wake up, that they're in a fight and that they now exercise their freedoms in voting, in speaking up. And every Christian needs to pray and consider getting involved in running for politics. And that's exactly what we need today.
It is indeed. Thanks for your time, Pastor Jack. That's 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert Morgan. Available for your gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Life Radio.